Way back in 1983, when John Paul II was visiting Los Angeles, he engaged in a youth rally that also included connections via satellite, which by that time was majorly new and advanced technology, with other youth groups throughout the United States, such as St. Louis and New York and so on. And each group provided a number of the students who asked the Pope questions, and then also bestowed upon him a gift, not a physical gift, but one in which they show that they are living the message that they are hearing from John Paul II. On one occasion, one of the satellite groups asked him their question. He had previously answered another question from one of the Los Angeles kids, but now it was the turn of, I believe it was St. Louis. And as their gift, they showed him a video of them serving the poor. The food kitchens, collections, clothing, blankets, and so on. At the end of the video, John Paul turned to the Los Angeles child who had asked him the question and said, "Their answer was a better answer than the one I gave you." Whereupon, as you can imagine, the youth groups lost it and cheered. Have we ever considered, when it comes to sometimes the life of a parish, I certainly see it as a priest, I knew it as a seminarian, oftentimes when we come to the life and history of various parishes, there's always that special pastor that everyone remembers. It's never the one that's there now, or the associate for that matter. But they always have a fond memory of a pastor who is the epitome, in their mind, of what a priest should be. I had one growing up. I knew Monsignor John Birch. Yes, his name was John Birch, not of the John Birch Society, Monsignor John Birch. Just over the hill at St. John Vianney, they have a pastor who everyone's fond of talking about years, decades after they retired. And that's not uncommon in parishes. But how would we respond, or what would we think, if a parish was not known for the priests who had been assigned there, but by the people who were there? Not by the priest who was the epitome and the ideal example of what a priest should be like, but that the people themselves in that parish are the prime example of what a Catholic community should be. St. Paul, in many ways, had that problem with regard to the people of Thessalonica. And he said so in his second reading today from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. But midway through, he says, "From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything." In other words, Paul is saying, I don't need to preach to you. You're already doing it. Now, some of you may remember Roger Moore playing James Bond 007, and no, I'm not going to use him as an example of Christian living. But in one of the films, The Spy Who Loved Me, one of the most famous of the musical themes of the film, which the Bond films are known for, but for The Spy Who Loved Me, the song was "Nobody Does It Better." Well, what Paul is basically saying is, everyone does it better. Just as John Paul II said, that answer was a better answer than what I gave, Paul is basically saying, we don't need to preach to you, because you're such a great example of doing it already. And I've often wondered, do we ever consider that as a goal for any parish community? What would it be like for a priest to say that the parish in which they are serving is so strong in how they live the gospel, how they come to worship? It's such a priority to them that no one is ever late for Mass. They are always punctual. It is such a time they take out of the day that they don't dress like they're going to lounge around at home. They dress as if it's something important. It's not a community in which they're always learning something new, but they're affirmed in what they already know and what they've already lived and are constantly growing in the faith. To the point where the pastor and the priests, while I'm sure they might enjoy being in the parish, are saying, we really don't know what to preach to them because they are so good at living it. How often have we thought of that as a goal for a family, a class, a parish? Or as a priest, we could say, the parishioners are better Catholics than I am. As parents, you could say, my children and grandchildren are such good Catholics that they are outdoing me. Or a teacher saying that my students have learned the faith so well that they are now actually better Catholics than I am. A real challenge for today when we actually hear the exact opposite. How many here say, well, my kids don't practice the faith. They aren't baptizing their grandkids. We see a diminishment of the strength in Catholicism with each generation. I mean, people have often come up to me. It's amazing how many of them there are. They say, well, Father, I was raised Catholic, but I'm not Catholic anymore. I used to be Catholic, but I'm not anymore. And I want to say, yeah, so was everybody. Everyone's an ex-Catholic these days. But how often do they say, I'm a better Catholic than my parents were? I want to raise my children to be a better Catholic than me. I want to be able to say that they are so good at what we raised them in, so good at what we taught them in the classroom, so good at what we preached to them from the pulpit, that it's reached a point where there's really nothing more we can say. And yet Paul is paying that compliment. Perhaps it's a good goal for us to consider. It's a good problem to have. Rather than say nobody does it better, as a priest it would be nice to say there are quite a few people who do it better than me. Perhaps one good practice, and frankly folks I really don't mind, is how many have ever considered before coming to Mass looking at the readings that are going to be read and preached at that particular Mass. We had some rather well-known ones today. I mean, just given the political climate of the time, you shall not molest or oppress an alien. That might get some real strong reflections from people this day because of the climate that we see and our call as followers of Christ. Or even a gospel as well-known as we have today. You shall love God and you shall love your neighbor. What does that mean? Maybe looking at each Sunday before coming to Mass, looking at the readings and reflecting upon them, and then maybe judging the homily you hear from your priests against your reflections that you had for that day. Believe me, folks, it's not uncommon for people to think that they could come up with a better homily than the priest. I know, I hear about it all the time. But as a priest, I certainly wouldn't mind. Some of you who've gone to confession to me, especially if they say they've missed Mass, usually the penance I give is read the Gospel and the readings for the up-and-coming Sunday and reflect upon them for a while. And I'll say, maybe you'd come up with a better homily than I would, and trust me, I wouldn't mind. It was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me, hopefully good enough for Father Dave and any priest who serves the people. Because our goal is to hopefully build up the community of faith, not convince them, but build up something that is already there and already strong. And is this a phrase that St. Paul could say to any one of us as a family, as students, as teachers, as priests, as a parish? From every faith, your faith in God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. Probably would be a problem, a good problem for us priests, if we could say everybody does it better than us. There might be one or two, but to have everybody in a parish whose holiness, as Jesus says, surpasses that of the priests, whose preaching and expression of the faith surpasses that of the priests, whose living that faith and worshiping in that faith is so deep and so with such expression and such heart that the priest is merely a leader in this worship, because the people are motivated by the Spirit within them to give that true worship to God on Sundays when we come to receive the Eucharist. How can we continue to grow and build up our families, our classrooms, our students, and for me, as a parish, so that we can hear those same words of St. Paul. We are so good at living and spreading that message of the gospel that our very leaders have nothing more to add.